This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We spent a whole lot of time in and around Erie, Pennsylvania in the past year trying to get a sense of what people in a county that voted Obama, and then Trump were expecting out of the new administration. What basically was on their minds?
I think that in Erie, a lot of people have lost hope.
No, government don't care about none of us. They say they do, but it's every man for himself.
We are becoming dependent on tourism.
In this area, it's a little troublesome because obviously we're an industrial town that is on its last leg of the great days of industry.
Oh, you want to live there? Well, just so you know, you can't get internet. And can't get internet is almost like saying you have to bring a bucket out to the well and pump your own water.
They asked me, what is my transportation method? When I say bus, it ends the interview.
It was a pretty strong narrative of get out, you know, that there wasn't going to be a lot of growth.
Because it does feel a little bit like this whole area has kind of had their dreams are sucked out. You're just too busy trying to live.
Economic dreams in Erie for much of that area's history have been tied to manufacturing. One company in particular, General Electric. GE used to be the biggest game in town, but the company has moved thousands of jobs out of Erie over the past couple of years. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports from the community of Lawrence Park, where life without GE is hard to imagine.
You can't live in Lawrence Park and not know GE. This entire community, the street grid, the houses, was designed and built by the company over a century ago. Jim Connolly spent his childhood here, in the shadow of GE's 350-acre facility, complete with its own train track. And 8 years ago, after college and the military, he came home to Lawrence Park and joined the ranks.
I really admired that factory when I was growing up, wondering what they did inside the fence.
What they did was manufacture locomotives. Connolly's father worked on the factory floor. Most of his high school buddies worked there, too. Then, a few years ago, GE's locomotive business started to falter, and the layoffs began. Last summer, the 40-year-old senior engineer was let go. He understood.
If you pay a guy like me $100,000 a year, and that's what I cost, or you can pay the same person with the same credentials overseas $12 an hour, it just makes sense.
But Connolly's job may not have gone overseas. He's pretty sure it went to Texas. 5 years ago, GE opened a locomotive plant in Fort Worth where its workers aren't unionized and earn less than workers in Lawrence Park. GE calls this practice of moving positions where jobs may also be renamed transfers of work. Jamie Miller, formerly CEO of GE Transportation, is GE's chief financial officer.
It's all about, you know, how do we reduce cost? How do we increase efficiency? You know, and frankly, how do we preserve U.S. jobs as we do it?
Manufacturing jobs in industries like paper mills and steel have been moving to states like Texas and Alabama for years. They're often the last stop before they cross the border. People like Greg Leroy with Good Jobs First calls it the second war among the states. And he says,
I can't think of a president who's ever blessed the war among the states like Trump did.
Leroy is referring to the speech then-president-elect Donald Trump made at the Carrier factory in Indiana.
And they can leave from state to state, and they can negotiate good deals with the different states and all of that.
Translation?
He said, you know, if companies want to bargain for the best deal they can get from a state or city here in the United States, that's fine.
5 years ago, more than 5,000 people worked at GE in Lawrence Park. Now, fewer than 2,000 have jobs there. Marjorie McLean has had a front row seat for the unraveling. Her late husband worked at GE, so did her father-in-law, two of her kids, a son-in-law, and a grandson. Up until McLean retired as a high school guidance counselor in 1989, she'd send grads there year after year.
You could walk over there and even get a job as a floor sweeper, and you had a pretty decent wage.
McLean, who's 91, even got married in a GE building. Now she's working to preserve some of this company town by having some buildings registered as historic places. As we drive by the factory, she says even after years of job losses, the memories of workers moving through the factory gates still feel fresh.
I think we accepted it at face value that the company would always be here. We never thought that they would leave.
And GE hasn't left entirely.
So we're in our virtual reality lab.
At GE, Alan Hamilton, a third-generation employee, shows me advanced manufacturing facilities. Many of the jobs that remain are high-tech and computer-driven and don't require as many workers as in the old days. To keep up, Hamilton himself has gone through retraining a couple times. And he says,
I'm very confident we'll be here many, many more years.
But Jim Connolly, who marveled at that factory as a kid, he isn't setting his sights on returning to GE. And he says losing his job last summer was a relief.
I was able to survive 3 or 4 different layoffs. And it was really causing anxiety between, should I stay with GE? Is this company growing? Do I have a future? Can I plan to retire?
He plans to go back to school for a master's and then start his own business as a consultant. In Lawrence Park, I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.